Paul Meacham Jr.
All of us change as we age. Hopefully we get better. We know that our body declines, but we hope that our experiences and the amount of information that we learn throughout our lives makes us better people, and that by understanding things better, we are kinder and more compassionate. But not everything works that way. Sometimes we see a small dog that's very cute and lovable as a puppy, but when it grows up, it's very difficult to handle, and oftentimes we're afraid of it. The Bible, however, describes for us something that does grow better as it ages. As it comes to its full and complete form, it is better. We're talking about unity, the unity that God describes for mankind, and we're looking at a mature and full-grown unity. Thank you for joining us today. It's always our privilege to study God's Word together with you, and we take it as a privilege that you invite us into your homes and into your lives. We know that you are very busy, but we're glad you take this time for Bible study. And as it is a Bible study, I encourage you to open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to take our text from there today. Unity that God desires for His children. We then saw a plea for binding unity that the Apostle Paul makes in Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3, a unity that binds us together in the spirit of peace. We also see a pattern for unity. This gives us the framework upon which we should unite, the power of mature unity. Because we see how unity is to be built and how much God desires it for man and how man can go about obtaining it, and then today we get to examine the wonderful things that that unity will do for us and the wonderful things it brings about. Read with me our text, Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 14. Paul writes that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We see in this beautiful passage a full and mature unity described, a unity that was not possible until the Word of God was fully given to man and we had His complete revelation, and then man turns to that revelation and in obedience follows it. When we do this, we find a group of God's people knit together, helping each other overcome the problems of this life, and going about doing the Master's work. So what power do we find in this mature unity that's described? Well, first of all, there's an element of safety. Safety from false doctrine. We notice that we're not to be children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. When we have the knowledge of God, and we unite on that knowledge, and we have our brothers and sisters around us to encourage us and help us, to warn us, and to call us back when we do that which is wrong, there's an element of safety involved there. Many fall prey to false doctrine, but they do so because they lack the knowledge to overcome that particular false doctrine. In 1 Corinthians 12, the first verse, Paul says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." This was the topic under discussion, and on that matter he didn't want them to be ignorant. Rather, he said, "You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led." The word dumb there doesn't mean unintelligent. It means unable to speak. And at one time, these people had been idolaters, led in that idolatry. In fact, led just any way the person wanted to lead them. They seemingly were just sheep, following after all of these various false shepherds. They could overcome that. Paul was going to help them overcome it on this topic by giving them the knowledge on that topic. We, when we have the knowledge that God wants us to be united in, can overcome the false doctrine that many men will bring to us. Other times we fall to false doctrine because we simply doubt the truth. In James 1, beginning in verse 5, it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind." Whenever we allow doubt and a lack of faith to overcome us, then we will be overtaken by these other things. We will be just pushed around like the wind pushes around the waves. But that's not what God wants for us. He has provided for us all of the things necessary that we might have this mature unity of the body of Christ. And when we have that, there is an element of safety against these false doctrines. Also, with this mature unity, we are forewarned about the tricks that man will play. In 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 17, Paul said that we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity. But as from God, we speak in the sight of God and Christ. Paul knew that no matter who the audience was, God always heard what he preached and what he taught. Because of that, he wasn't going to be like other men. He would not be a peddler of God's word. Now, this word in the original Greek that we have translated here, peddler, it referred to merchants in the marketplace. Usually, it referred to those who were dealing fruit or wine. Those who would deal fruit would put good fruit on the top of the basket, but leave rotten fruit underneath. Those who were dealing in wine would often take the new wine, which was harsh and of poor quality, and mix it with some of the older wine that was of better quality in order to be able to sell it all as though it were old wine, and thereby more expensive. We see these people as dishonest, as caring not for the consumer or their customer, but rather caring only for themselves. Many were treating the Word of God that way. They were not honest. They might have made things look good on the surface, but underneath, it was all rotten. They didn't care about the people that they were supposed to be teaching. Rather, they cared only about themselves. I'm afraid that there are many today, even, who have this same attitude. They really don't care if you know or obey the truth, just as long as they are provided for financially. That's the reason you often hear them on radio and television requesting your funds. I think maybe you have noticed that on this program, we never request any money from you. Rather, we offer you what we can give in directing you to God's Word that you might learn. We make no plea for funds at any time and never will. Our only concern is that you hear the truth and obey the truth and follow God. A third thing we see that comes from this mature unity is that of speaking the truth in love. Now, sometimes just speaking up is difficult. It's easy to be afraid in certain circumstances, and this was even true for the Apostle Paul, it seems. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 19, he prays or asks the brethren that they will pray for him that utterance might be given to me, or in this case to the Apostle Paul, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. If the Apostle Paul, a man endowed with many of these spiritual gifts himself, needed the brethren to pray for him, that he would be bold in speaking, we can easily see how oftentimes it is difficult to speak up. And many, since it is so difficult, when they do speak up, they choose to speak a lie because it's easier at that moment, or at least they feel like it is. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, Timothy is told that the Spirit says expressly, "In the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron." These were those who were going to go about as teachers of the truth, yet they would speak lies and hypocrisy. Many times today, people, when they speak up, are so overwhelmed by the circumstances, they do not have the strength to say what is true, and therefore, they speak a lie. Those who do speak the truth oftentimes speak it very harshly. And our text here refers to those who are speaking the truth, but speaking the truth in love. In Galatians 6 and verse 1, we're told that if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. We also know from 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 1 that Paul was pleading by the meekness and gentleness of Christ that the brethren there would do what was right. We should have that same meek and gentle attitude in pleading with others to do what is right. For if we do not speak the truth, and if we do not speak the truth in an attitude of love, it's very unlikely that we will ever reach anyone, for they will stop listening to us long before they hear what the truth of the matter is. In 2 Timothy 2, beginning in verse 24, Paul gave this advice to a young preacher named Timothy. He said, "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." With this mature unity that Jesus outlines for us and that is given to us by the record of the Apostle Paul, we see very clearly that there are tremendous and powerful benefits when the church is united in a mature way as the Bible describes. If we'll do those things, then we can today, as we have been in times past, be a powerful force for our Lord and a powerful force for good on this earth. In just a moment, I'll return.
We at Truth for the World would like to offer you a free Bible correspondence course, which is non-denominational. It's based strictly upon the Word of God and not the creeds or traditions of men. You can receive this course by writing to us today. Our address is Truth for the World, P.O. Box 5048, Duluth, Georgia, 30096. Again, that's Truth for the World, P.O. Box 5048, Duluth, that's D-U-L-U-T-H, Georgia, 30096.
We do hope that you'll write to us and enroll in the Bible correspondence courses. We would love to be able to continue our study together with you that you might know what the Bible says. And by doing it, you might be united with us in the cause of Christ here on the earth. Our text, Ephesians 4, the very last two verses, verses 15 and 16, show us the end product of this mature unity. It's when we grow up into Him who is the head, even Christ. The whole body being joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Are you a child of God? If not, you're not part of that body. If you are a child of God and part of the body, are you doing your share? We pray that you are.